You're listening to Footy Roundup. Rob Sergenick, joined by Matt Didcombe. Matty, things went from good to bad rather quickly for TFC. I mean, not too surprising a result that they couldn't pick up anything against LA, but it was a disappointing effort.
Yeah, not the best TFC performance we've seen all year. I mean, they were pretty much outclassed from the get-go. I think TFC actually played quite well the first, like, 10 minutes or so.
They did, yeah.
And then it just, I don't know, like, what happened? Maybe LA just found their rhythm, or TFC were like, oh, this is going okay. And they blew it, basically. I mean, you know, two goals with Robbie Keane in the space of 3 minutes, put the game, you know, 1-0, you were like, okay, you know, get an away goal and, you know, we can maybe leave
her with
a tie.
You just want to get to half within one, within a legit striking distance.
As soon as it went 2-0, I tweeted, they're not going to get anything from this game.
Game's over.
Because it's over. LA are just too good. They're too dominant. I mean, Robbie Keane is probably, in my opinion, the best player in MLS. I mean, he's phenomenal.
He was fantastic in the game. I mean, both of his goals were really well taken. Yep. There was one piece of information, Matt, that didn't sit too well with me, though. The commentator, one of them was asked, his name escapes me right now, the color guy on the broadcast, was asked by the commentator, do you put any of the blame for the goals on TFC's defending? He goes, no, not really. It's Robbie Keane being Robbie Keane, to paraphrase. And yeah, they were great strikes, but in my opinion, the defense was garbage on both goals. Like, there was so much free space for Keane. His half volley into the back of the net, that joker Stephen Caldwell, like, he was nowhere to be seen. Like, he just, and then he played the guy on the other goal too, the other Keane goal. Like, he was just a joke, a gong show.
So it's official, Rob is not in the Stephen Caldwell.
Like, him even having the armband when you have a guy like Michael Bradley there, to me, is like completely laughable. Like, if you're a young guy coming in the squad, you go, hey, excuse me, Mr. Bradley, Caldwell, I need some help. Can you give me some guidance onto how to be a pro? Like, what has this guy ever done compared to Bradley? Like, get rid of this charade, make Bradley the captain now. It's only a matter of time till he's going to be, and let's just get on with it. Caldwell, to me, is an absolute clown.
All right. Rant over. I mean, I'm not in that camp. I actually quite rate Stephen Caldwell, you know, former Scotland international. I believe he was captain for a little while. I like Stephen Caldwell, but maybe he didn't have his best game. But I mean, TFC's defenders always, you know, they never turn up in a group. You look
at TFC
Hagelin
defense as a whole,
past,
too. I don't want to come down too much just on Caldwell. Like, I think the TFC defense in general sucks, and I didn't like that the commentator gave Toronto a pass when they weren't marking, like you just said, probably the best player in the game. There's no one within 8-9 yards of him. That's insane. TFC, like, how do you give him any space?
TFC defending has never been a strong... Oh. Well, I don't think there's really been too many strong points in that team, period, since they came into the league. But defending... they've always had a good goalie, though, eh?
Like, they have, yeah. Stephen Fry
was good.
Strong.
I guess you can class Julio Cesar in that
Craig Sutton, I guess, Canadian international back in the day, too.
That was the guy. I was a color commentary. Yeah. That's his name.
That was
right
the guy I couldn't stand, yeah. Craig Sutton. Okay.
Apparently, so there you go.
Better goalie than color guy for me.
I don't know. I mean, I think this is the one result when you looked at going into this game, TSC had 5 games left. This was the one game you looked at and said, if they get nothing, that's it's not okay, but it's not a surprise.
Yeah.
Like, I think this was the one game, look at the rest of their schedule, and they should, you know, hopefully pick up some wins and make the playoffs. But this was the one game Luton said, well, then probably not getting anything out of this. So just be prepared for that. But they didn't look good. Like I said, I think the first 10 minutes they looked all right, but after that it went south.
They did. They were
hurry.
Taking it to him. And to your point, Matty, I think Greg Vanney kind of maybe showed his hand a little bit in that regard by, like, Gilberto didn't, not only did he not start, he didn't play.
He didn't travel.
Yeah.
He stayed in Toronto.
Like, I mean, in a game that I think to myself, there's a handful of games left. You basically need all of them. And they're almost like throwing out the white flag before that kick even happens. I can understand wanting to keep your guys fit and whatnot.
Right.
But just throw the dice. Like, you're not guaranteed anything when you come home. Maybe someone comes down with the flu and Defoe can't go. Like, if you have your guys, play them. And just see what happens where the chips fall. I would hate to, you know, hold your key asset on the bench just because you think you won't win and you're saving him. It doesn't make any sense.
I didn't see anything leading up to the game that was like, oh yeah, Gilberto's not playing. And I kind of turned the game on and like, he stayed in Toronto. And I was like, okay. I wasn't quite sure why, and I haven't seen much since. I have to probably look into that a little more. But, I mean, Defoe returned. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he did nothing for my money. I thought he was... He looked like he was trying too hard. It looked like a guy who'd missed the last, I think it was 6 games he's missed now, and you know, since his last appearance.
And then Di Rosario came on. He looked completely uninspired and disinterested.
I mean, Diro's not... I think TFC always...
It's not the Diro of 4 years ago. Let's put it that way.
I mean, he's
got
one goal this year, right? That equalizer late a few weeks ago when they should have won, you know, after an injury time.
The link-up play, too, was troubling from the mids to the forwards. There was just no fluidity. The ball gets to the midfield, and Matt, it felt like there was just, like... almost like a blockade between their forward and their midfielder. There's no interplay.
Think anyone stood out. I'm not sat here thinking like, oh yeah, this was a great performance by Odura Morrow or Bradley.
Actually the one guy I thought who did play reasonably well. He had some nice runs down the wing, but it didn't materialize to anything. So did he like particularly stand out? No. But I mean, he was offensive minded. He was getting forward. He was solid at the back.
I can't remember. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Sometimes I feel like I forget Morrow plays, if I'm honest with you. But like,
that's not necessarily a bad thing for a defender,
too. Right. Yeah, well, exactly. The less you know about them, the better, usually. But I mean, I remember watching him being like, he's getting forward a lot tonight. And I didn't really remember him doing that. I know he likes to get forward every now and then, but like,
I like him as a player.
I think he's all right. He's good enough for my money. Well, for TFC, anyway. I don't know. I just mean, you know, I guess looking forward, Rob, their next game is against Houston Wednesday night. There is no questions about this. This has to be 3 points.
Max three. I don't even want to hear any of this nonsense about a tie of keeping it alive. Like, needs to be a win.
They have two home games left and two road games to play. Houston at home.
One game in hand as well.
Then they go to New York for an away game this weekend. And then they play Montreal at home, which, I mean,
have to have it.
Exactly. And then they go to New England, their last game of the year, who are already pretty much got their playoff spot locked down because they're second in the conference. I mean, that's four games. That's 12 points, Rob. They need to win both home games 100%.
They need seven minimum, probably nine, in my opinion.
They got to get a road win somewhere. It all starts Wednesday night. I mean, no 3 points there. And, you know, I think you got to just say that's it.
I mean, a tie keeps you alive, but I don't think it's going to be enough. But I think a loss, you're done. Like, it's pretty much over.
No question about it. And I mean, the other annoying thing is Columbus lost at the weekend. To New England 2-1, and New York Red Bulls won 1-0 against Houston. So TFC, they fell behind because they then went and lost themselves. So
I think the schedule sets up favorably, though. You did mention the Montreal. Yeah, it's a rivalry. I mean, you got to have it. Houston, now you have at home another game you have to have, and they have a game in hand too, Matt. And let's not forget, very key point for all the listeners out there, TFC has a tiebreaker over Columbus.
That's true.
So that could potentially be huge.
Right. But at the end of the day, the whole conversation comes back to Wednesday night now.
Yep.
I mean, you don't get anything on the road against LA. Fair enough. Yeah. You know, I don't think any of us realistically expected them to, besides probably the 11 guys who lined up on the field to start that game and Greg Vanney. But I mean, outside of that, you know, Wednesday night, 3 points is needed. Nothing less would do.
Yep. Moving on to Vancouver, Maddie. Much different result for them. 2-0 win over Dallas. Huge. They're pretty, I don't want to say completely sitting pretty, but they're in a really good position right now.
Well, they're still ahead of Portland, which is basically the only thing that matters right now. I mean, Dallas are above Vancouver in the standings. And, you know, Dallas are now only 5 points clear of Vancouver. So that's a really, really good win for Vancouver. Sebastian Fernandez got both goals in the, you know, well, again, quick goals, two goals, 14 minutes and 18 minutes, a couple of goals inside 5 minutes. So
that's she wrote at that point.
That's all you need, right? Yeah. I mean, MLS, I find, is a league quite often. Sometimes you can get up 2-0 and, you know, 80% of the time, you're probably walking away with 3 points for the most part.
Yep.
Portland will beg differ against TFC from a few weeks ago. But sometimes I find if a team gets ahead.
To the Reds for Vancouver on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I think in MLS, every time you get ahead early, you tend to be okay for the most part. I mean, Portland won, though, Rob. They won 2-1 away at San Jose. So, you know, they stay alive. They're only 1 point behind Vancouver.
Yeah, keeping it tight still.
So, I don't know. When Vancouver at Seattle Friday, though. Man, oh, man, that's a tough. That's not the game you want to see on your schedule right now.
Yeah, here
right
we
now.
Go. With, like, it's like Toronto at LA. Just get out there and just don't end up in the body bag by the end of it.
That's one way to put it. That is one way to put it. But I mean, you can't. In terms of Vancouver, they did what they had to do. So I mean, you can't do anything more than win your game.
The one thing I'll say about both clubs, Matt, and it's an improved situation from where we were, you know, 2, maybe 3 weeks ago. Mm. They both control their own destiny now.
Right.
And I think you can't, with a handful of games, ask for any more.
Vancouver,
you know,
definitely do, right? Mm-hmm. Toronto do to some extent, but
Toronto just has to match what Columbus does.
But
and
if
they're
Columbus,
in. Oh, I guess the Union could still cause some problems
and
too.
And obviously, the New York Red Bulls are still there too. So I mean, you know, it's.
But I mean, they do control their own destiny in the sense that if Toronto won their games, it doesn't matter what anyone else does; they're in.
I guess that's true. I mean, technically, that is correct. Likelihood about 5%.
You're just
maybe.
Assuming Toronto's going to drop it somewhere.
Wow, I mean, I don't think we've come accustomed to that. It's the TFC lifestyle,
unfortunately,
right?
Unfortunately, yeah.
And a quick note: Montreal 0-0 away draw with Chicago, for what it's worth.
Yeah, I think you just said it.
Yeah.
Matty, moving on to the English League. Just an aside for the listeners, actually, there's going to be, we're in Euro qualifying week now, so there's going to be an international break from the major leagues. So, Matt, reviewing the results of the Premiership, what jumps out to you?
Well, I guess the big game of the weekend was the Chelsea-Arsenal game.
Yep.
2-0 home win for Chelsea.
Decisive, I would say.
Yeah, I didn't catch the game. I know you did, right?
I did, and yeah.
I think the only thing you really need to talk about from this game is Cesc Fabregas or Diego Costa.
Yeah, I think those were my two big signings preseason. And my Chelsea pick. Wink.
What a goal. I mean, yeah. I think
what a pass, too. I mean, the whole sequence was just fantastic.
I mean, what's Costa got? Is it 9 or 10 goals in 7 games now?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think it's about that. And I think I read yesterday on Sky Sports that Fabregas has 7 assists in 7 games. So I
wonder how many of those are on Costa goals.
Likely pretty much all of them, exactly. I would imagine. At least 5, I'd say. I mean, just incredible. They've been great, those two.
Looking
guys.
At the offseason acquisitions, Matt, when they did do it, I mean, you're basically bringing in a starting 10 and a starting 9 to a team that was already fairly strong. I don't know how you could do better than the haul that they brought in. The chemistry these guys have found so quick, it seems, too.
Well, and I mean, it's worked so far, yeah. Right? I mean, they're top of the table by 5 points already, which, you know, this early in the Premier League is doing quite all right for yourselves. I mean, they've looked really good. And then we got the old winger and Mourinho shoving match fight. I mean, jeez.
That was pretty funny. Afterwards, it looked like Wenger was a little more rattled by it. Mourinho was just like, oh, it was whatever. The commentator asked him, like, did you get mad when he put his hands on you, though? He's like, no, I just told him, get out of my technical area, please. Vintage Mourinho, basically.
I'm a big Mourinho guy. I like Mourinho a lot. And Wenger...
His record against Mourinho is a joke, too, eh?
Wenger's, yeah. Is it 0-14 now or something?
Yeah, it's something absurd like that.
It's not good. I mean, Wenger... I mean, I was an Arsenal fan as a kid growing up. I was a junior season ticket holder there for quite a while. And Wenger was part of the reason I kind of lost interest in the club, just because I think he's kind of a joke. Like, the whole, oh, like, I did not see it. You know, I did not... Yeah, you did. Open your eyes, mate.
But he did a lot for them in the beginning, but yeah, I mean, he's living off a rep right now, in my opinion.
But how do you live off a rep where you've won, what, 1 trophy in 8?
I hear you.
8 years, give or take a year on that. I can't quite remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was a gate, and, you know, that trophy, they were 2-0 down in the final, came back. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Arsenal, I guess they're slowly getting there, but they're not. They're still not there. They're halfway down the table already this season. They're 9 points behind Chelsea.
The league's set up, not surprisingly to me, as basically a Chelsea-Man City battle with Man United, you know, that wild card joker in the deck potential of can they get back up there. And to that end, with Man United, 2-1 over Everton, you know, another result that had a few blemishes. They didn't look great. I mean, they conceded quick, too, right after they took the lead. But Falcao got on the board. It was big for them.
Yeah, Di Maria gave him the lead with a really nice finish, actually. Yeah. Just as men were
He's
closing
still been
on
fantastic
him. He's been great.
Too. And then actually, him, cost him Fabregas, best signing.
Actually, the equalizer in the second half, actually, Rob.
Okay.
What the hell is with Stephen Naismith scoring tons of goals this
year? He's been pumping them in, I know.
Anyway, he scored again. And then, yeah, Falcao got the winner with a... I'm not sure if it was a shot or a pass on the top of the box. It looked like a pass.
He's a striker, so let's say it's a shot.
No, but the pass into Falcao, I mean.
Oh, sorry. The one first.
Yeah, like
okay.
He deflected it in. I mean, I don't know. Whatever it was, pass, shot, it doesn't matter. Falcao scored. But the story of this game for me, Rob, is David De Gea saved a penalty. And then in the last minute stopped an absolute cracker. 2 great saves in injury time to preserve the win.
So fortunate 3 points for Man U when you consider the performance of the keeper?
I guess that's what you also pay the goalie for, right? I mean, isn't that his job at the end of the day?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean...
But I mean, do you think Everton feels a little hard done by getting nothing out of this?
They might do when you miss a penalty and have 2 basically almost guaranteed goals, you know, swiped away by De Gea.
Yep.
But at the end, I mean, you know, we talked about how bad United were at the beginning, and we're not going to say they weren't because they were absolutely shocking. But they're 4th in the table, Rob.
Yeah, they're still hanging around. They have the talent on paper if they figure this all out, like we alluded to.
They're
There's
8
no
points
reason...
behind.
They just need Chelsea to start screwing up, to be frank.
Exactly. Like, when United go to Chelsea or, you know, play Chelsea at home first, whichever comes up first, they got to pick up 3 points. I mean, but United are slowly getting there. I mean, their defensive woes are still a problem, obviously. So, you know, Tyler Brackett, I mean, he had a great block to set up the good save by De Gea, which was a good block. I mean, you know, Johnny Evans, all these guys. Luke Shaw conceded the penalty, not what really he needs to be doing. So...
They're not feeling as cocky about your England defense after that performance.
Luke Shaw is still right, but I mean he hasn't had a good start to the year. Obviously being injured at the start of the season didn't help. So. Yeah. But anyway, United up and running with another 3 points.
A Liverpool 2-1.
Yeah,
got back
West
in the win
Brom.
Column, which was nice.
Yeah, Jordan Henderson got the winner. Adam Lallana got his first goal for the club.
There you go.
And first half injury time, so that's nice to see, I guess, as an English guy. Henderson has been, for my money, probably the most improved player in the Premier League over the last year to 18 months. He's been really good, and he scored the winner against West Brom. So,
Tottenham 1-0 over Southampton. I'm trying to figure out how that result happens, and yet we still have Southampton, what, third in the table?
Yeah, shows you how good they've been this year, right?
Yeah. Very good.
I mean, this game wasn't on television, I don't believe. So I only ended up seeing the goal, which Eriksen scored.
No surprise there.
I mean, I don't know if you want to class this as a surprise. Tottenham needed to win this game. Mm-hmm. But then you look at Southampton, how good they've been early on. I would say it's not a surprise, personally.
Yeah, it's still pretty early,
too.
It's early.
I mean, Southampton, you know, it's great to see them at the top of the table right now, but they're not going to hang around there for much longer.
Yeah.
So, you know, they might be a kind of team who contends for a Europa League spot, though, this year with the start they had.
Just wrapping up the other EPL results, Matty. Hull City 2-0 over Crystal Palace. Nikita Jelovic on the board again for Hull. He's had a great start, Croatian international
late goal,
this year.
Right?
Yeah. Sunderland 3-1 over Stoke.
Cool.
Leicester City and Burnley 2-2.
That was a last minute equalizer by Burnley as well, so Leicester should have had 3 points there, really.
And Swansea City Newcastle 2-2 draw. Newcastle struggles just brutal right
again,
now
again. I mean, it's a point, which I guess they need, and a away point when you go to Swansea is never, when you go to Wales is never a bad thing.
Man City 2-0 over Villa. It just kind of cruised by.
I
there.
Watched that game. Yeah, that was pretty straightforward.
And 2-0 West Ham over QPR, who also
QPR looked terrible this year.
Who looks worse though, Newcastle or QPR? I'd say maybe Newcastle, because you'd expect more.
Can we just relegate them both?
And yeah, just be done with it. Eight games in.
So they're both awful this year. I mean, Harry Redknapp. I like Harry Redknapp. I mean, I kind of feel bad for him at QPR, but then again, it's
his job
to turn
around. You know, when Harry Redknapp was at his best was actually probably the Portsmouth days more than anything else.
Yeah,
like, he was good at Tottenham, too.
When Defoe was there and Canoe, and I mean, they had a really good team back in the day.
They did. Cranchar helped them, too, win that Carling Cup, I think it was.
And then they started losing money, and they're a few leagues down.
Well documented. They were spending above their means, for sure.
Absolutely. So,
Matty, Bundesliga results. What do you got for us?
Bayern 4, Hanover 2. I think Robert Lewandowski heard you.
Hanover 0,
out.
You mean? You said Hanover 2. Hanover 0.
Oh, 0. 4-0. I started to get ahead of myself because Lewandowski scored twice. I think he heard you calling him out a little. So he was on the board twice.
We got some excitement next door here to me now that Lewandowski's finally opened
Absolutely.
His account
better. Absolutely. I am a big Lewandowski guy. Arjen Robben scored the other two goals for Hanover. For Bayern Munich. My apologies. This result.
We're
here,
still talking about Bayern and Hanover for any out there who's wondering.
We're moving on. Bayern won 4-0
over Hanover.
Over Hanover, and Lewandowski and Robin scored two goals each. Next, okay.
This is why he's the co-host, everybody.
The reason, I mean, it's Borussia Dortmund, so you got to bring up the result. But the reason I'm really bringing this game up is they lost 1-0 home to Hamburger, which is an awful result because Hamburger second from bottom in the league on only 5 points, and Dortmund are 13th, 7 points from seven. Awful
at
start.
Home too, yeah.
But the reason I'm bringing this goal up, Rob, is because as a fellow FIFA player, this goal was a FIFA goal in a nutshell. Midfielder tries to swing out to his right winger. Pass is awful, gets intercepted by a random attacker standing in the middle who runs down the left wing to draw the goalie towards him, who then squares it across for his other attacker who taps it in. It was the goal you see on FIFA that beats you in the 90th minute.
Oh,
every
the one that makes your friends so mad. Yeah,
time.
When you're streaking in 2-0 and the triangle just can't come fast enough at that point.
Yeah, I when I watched this guy, I just started laughing because I was like, that is honestly the replica of a FIFA goal. But besides that terrible result for Dortmund, because they need to start winning.
Incidentally, you know, the result being bad for Dortmund, I'm having an extra chuckle here if anyone's wondering, because our score sheet says Dortmund FIFA.
Yeah,
honest.
That was my note. That was my note to remember.
So when I saw FIFA, I'm like, did FIFA have something to do with this result? Not to be confused, no. Matt's comparing it to the video game.
Another result, I mean, Paderborn kind of got back going. They drew 2-2 at Bayern. I did this last week. Bayer Leverkusen.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
I'm just going to say Leverkusen from now on.
Please.
And Leverkusen got the goal in the last minute through Bellarabi. For the record, go watch the highlights, because you're going to see some absolutely shocking play in this game. Goalie dropping the ball, you know, running out, missing the ball when he tried to kick it, leaving an open net. Defender just basically missing everything. It was a gong show, for no better word to say. It was pretty bad. But Bayer, I mean, Leverkusen are really... I mean, they're dropping points after such a good start. But, I mean, they're still hanging in there towards the top of the table, Rob.
Yeah, I don't know. what to make of them at this point, Matt. Yeah, it's feeling a bit Liverpoolish. We were kind of excited a little bit, and
every week I'm checking out the Bundesliga every couple of minutes, and you see Dortmund are losing
every couple of minutes. That's a busy weekend.
Absolutely, Leverkusen. I gotta keep the people up to date, man.
Still single, ladies.
This is why I'm a football guy. Leverkusen are dropping points. You know, we know how bad Hamburg are. Schalke have been kind of garbage. They lost at Hoffenheim, who were second in the league for the record. Mönchengladbach are still tied for second with...
Wolfsburg's hanging around, too. They got a 1-0 over Augsburg.
Slight, yeah, I guess.
Upper mid-table right now?
Yeah, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Tied for sixth in the league with Mainz. I mean, Leverkusen are still fourth. They're on 12 points with Frankfurt. Bayern Munich lead the table with 17.
Leverkusen now, it's almost like how you see Southampton. You're wondering, how are they still up there when you look at the... I think the start was so hot that they've given themselves a bit of a buffer.
Which is true, but you expect Leverkusen to stay up there. For my money, the top three in Germany is Munich, Dortmund, and then Leverkusen. But based on this year, we're not even close on that.
So. Paderborn, maybe. He just loves it every time I say Paderborn. Moving on to La Liga. We'll do better on this one, I promise. Valencia 3-1 over Atletico Madrid.
Well, when you're 3-0 down after 14 minutes, then you're pretty much screwed, right?
A lot of these games were just basically done so fast.
Like, yeah, it was weird. I mean, an easy week, really. And
You know, you just got your pizza pocket out of the microwave, take a seat, and the game's already over.
It's already 3-0.
You're like, what am I going to do now?
But, I mean, it doesn't help when you're Atletico Madrid and you concede an own goal after 7 minutes.
Certainly not.
Just head the ball into your own net. That doesn't help. And then you concede a couple minutes later. Your boy Mandzukic scored from Atletico, for what it's worth.
Yeah, he did come
Guess
back,
what it
and
was,
get back
Rob?
On the board.
He headed it in.
Oh, what a change from the norm.
This time, though,
not
it
a screamer from 25 yards?
No, not this time. It was actually a save, and he kind of just nodded the rebound in. So
yeah,
it wasn't from cross this time.
But. It's a striker-type goal, though, former forward, just being in the right place at the right time and being aware of your surroundings.
So
Manz has always had that
instinct. You have a need, right?
Yeah. Barca 2-0 over Rayo.
Valenciano, yeah.
Is that one of the Street Fighter characters? did they draw a Honda last week?
Messi and Neymar scored.
Two
goals in 2 minutes. Sevilla, they keep rocking, Rob. 4-1 over Deportivo.
Yep. Deportivo on the other end keeps taking the rocking, too, it looks like, at this point.
Hammered by Real Madrid 8-2.
Well, proportionally, 8-2 to 4-1
is
the same. Yeah.
Technically, it's the same, yeah. And they lose their next game 12-3.
Yeah, makes sense.
Real Madrid destroyed, demolished, crucified Atletico Bilbao.
Are you ready to say your concerns of Real are gone now?
Yeah,
what you've seen the last couple of weeks?
I would suggest so.
Yeah, they've just been pounding
teams left
and right. They've
just pounded
everyone
now, right? Yeah. Ronaldo had a hat trick. Get what else is new? And
ever inching
Benzema
closer to that goal record of Raul's, too, that we talked about.
Yeah,
last
absolutely.
Week.
I mean, when you score 3 a week, you'll be there in about 2 days, I guess. So.
Ibar Levante, look at that one. 3-3. High scoring.
Oh, yeah, I see it. I'd like to tell you something interesting about that game.
Other than that, it was high scoring?
It was high scoring and 3-3. I can't say my Ibar and Levante knowledge is quite up to date.
Where it used to be.
So, is what it is.
He was too busy checking the Bundesliga.
I was.
3-2 seconds.
Real Sociedad lost to Espanyol 2-0. So, that one answer from Villarreal won 3-1 at Celta Vigo. That's a good win
for
Villarreal.
Yeah.
So, the league right now, Rob, is Barcelona 19, Valencia 17, Sevilla 16, Real Madrid 15, Atletico 14. And then Celta 12, Villarreal 11.
Setting up for a real run for Real and Man U if they keep this up, too. They're just kind of battling back into these tables.
Though. Right. I really want to know what Valencia are going to do this year. I would love if they can kind of... I sent you a picture on Facebook the other day that had, David Villa and some of these other guys back in the day for Valencia. I mean, it was... I think we brought that up last week as well, but it's kind of cool to go back and see the players they used to have back in the day. But, I mean, it'd be cool to see Valencia stay up there. Sevilla as well. You know, we know the success they've had in Europa League over the years. And they've always been a good team. Remember when Freddy Canuta used to play for Sevilla?
Mm-hmm.
Flashback for whatever reason. So, I don't know. I mean, it'd be good to see them kick around, but it's what it is.
Moving on to Serie A, Matty. Juve 3, Roma 2, and the big one.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of sour grapes. I'm warning everybody.
Try and keep this under wraps, I guess. The referee gave 3 penalties. 2 to Juve, 1 to Roma. None of them were penalties. One was a handball outside the area. Was outside the area, as I said. The other, the guy fell over.
Well, it just sounds like another day in Serie A to me.
Yeah, not what Serie A needs. And then the winning goal by Bonucci was a nice volley, but I'm pretty sure you're offside when Vidal is standing 2 feet in front of the goalie, and there's no one else around him. So, I don't want to get into a big hoo-ha on this because I think it's one of those things where Serie A was, you know, booming so well, how well Juve and Roma were doing, and they kind of have this game, and then, you know, it was like a 20-man brawl at the end when guys got sent off. Totti had some really strong words about refereeing in Italy, saying it's, you know, it's a farce and Juve get what they want. I think he actually said, Rob, they should be in their own league because they just get what they want every time. Give or take a little on the direct words on that. But, you know, Juve now 6-6 and Roma 5-6. So,
I mean, it's nothing that's going to necessarily kill Roma here. We're super early in the season. And I mean,
they had money,
I would have had Juve winning this game. And maybe, I'm sure Roma would have liked to have gone in and gotten the draw. But
I think the annoying thing is they had a point wrapped up here.
Yeah.
You know, they had a point. You know, the goal from Bonucci came in the 86th minute. They were going into halftime 2-1 up, and then the ref gave this, you know, phantom penalty to make it 2-2 right on halftime. And that's what's more frustrating is, you know, two late goals at either end of the half and very, very questionable calls as well.
Moving on to some of the other Serie A results. Inter loses again 3-0 to Fiorentina.
Yeah, I mean, poor result for Inter. Fiorentina are flying pretty good this year. Inter's somewhat in rough shape right now, I guess. I mean, Inter and Fiorentina actually are on the same points. The only thing I'll say about this goal is just go check out the goals in this game.
They're on the same points, Inter and Fiorentina?
Yeah,
they don't feel like they're trending the same way, though.
No, Inter Milan, they're kind of just all over the shop this year, right?
Yeah, you never know what you're getting.
For the record, go check out the goals. Babacar scored an absolute wonder to open the scoring, and Quadrado scored a pretty good goal for the Fiorentina second. Parma lost at home to Genoa. Matri scored in the last minute for Genoa there. Napoli beat Torino 2-1. Insigne and Calahon scoring for Napoli. Qualiera getting Torino's lone goal.
Milan 2-0 over Chievo.
Yeah, Muntari and Honda. Good win for Milan. So I guess, you know, Serie A sitting, Juve, Rome, as we mentioned. Sampdoria, Udinese. What did Udinese do this week, Rob? They drew at home 1 with Sassenia, so that's kind of a poor result for them. Then AC Milan, Verona, Napoli, Lazio, Fiorentina, and Inter. So, you know, Juve, you know, they're pulling away from, you know, like the Fiorentinas, the Inters, the Napolis, the Lazios, the AC Milans, the teams we expect. It's going to come down, I think, to, again, how long and can Roma hang with Juve for the whole season?
Matt, the final couple minutes of the show, we mentioned the Euro qualifiers being back. There's, you know, far too many games and
right.
I guess a lot of blog games to go through as well. You know, like, I don't know how much coverage everyone wants on a Finland and Greece, for example.
What about Northern Ireland and Faroe Islands?
So just to summarize the games that we do have, Matty, I'll give you three that I think teams you need to watch and be careful for.
Yep.
Switzerland at Slovenia. I mean, Swiss need to take this game. I think it's a sticky game. They could go in there and draw pretty easily. Slovenia is pretty tough at home.
Well, anytime you go to Eastern Europe, it's a tough
game. Yeah, that's you're going to notice my trend here as well. Croatia going to Bulgaria, which
tough
is,
game.
I think most people would probably, you know, peg Croatia as second behind Italy, maybe Bulgaria third or fourth in the group, depending how you rate it. Croatia's going to want to go in and get at least a draw, probably ideally max points. I think Bulgaria would be happy with the draw, so I think that's a game.
I think Croatia would be if they left with a draw there.
It wouldn't be killer. I would hope that they'd go in and win that game so they can try to challenge for the first spot with Italy, but I wouldn't not take a draw at the end of the
right.
day. And my third one, Matt, Belgium at Bosnia, keeping this Balkan ex-Yugoslavia thing going.
Yeah.
Another tough place to play, like you mentioned. Bosnia, they can find the goals. Ibisevic and Dzeko up front, they're capable of causing some damage. Belgium better have their socks and boots fully strapped up for this game if they want to take max points out of that one. So what three games do you have to watch?
I actually also have Bosnia, but I have them in their second game. They go to Wales.
Now you're flipping it.
They got to watch because Wales, you know, they won their last game. You know, Gareth Bale is always a threat these days. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised even if Wales won this game. I think Wales are long overdue to actually make a run into a major championship, and this is the kind of game they could look to win. But, I mean, it also depends what Bosnia do in their first game, as you mentioned there.
Yeah.
Other game as well is Denmark-Portugal. You know, logically, you look at this and go, oh, well, Portugal are going to win. And they probably should. But when you lose 1-0 at home to
That game reeks of a draw to me, Denmark-Portugal.
Yeah, you can't give any guarantees there of Portugal. And the other game I have actually is, this is always, you know, politically an interesting game as well for, you know, the history of between these two countries. But Poland hosts Germany.
I thought you were going to go Russia-Ukraine on us for a second.
Well, present day.
Yeah.
No, Poland-Germany, yeah. Which, you know, it's off you of the history.
Yeah, and like half of the German players are Polish, too.
Well, exactly, helps, right? But, you know, you got Lewandowski for Poland, and then we already know what Germany has to offer. So this is a tricky game. A draw here would not put it past you at all.
Yep. For guaranteed wins, I mean, there's a bunch of no-brainers to pick between. I'd say Spain over Luxembourg should be a pretty safe bet.
Hope so.
I got Republic of Ireland over Gibraltar. I think Gibraltar would be happy to find a goal, a chance, or maybe a fireman to play striker. And I got Sweden in a bounce back over Liechtenstein at home. That's a must win for the Swedes.
Yeah, no doubt. Gibraltar always. God bless them. Just bless them. Bristol Rovers have an international place with Gibraltar. Just throwing that out there. My sure wins are England against San Marino. Let's hope so, because if not, I mean, we might as well just give up and go home.
I'll be hosting the show alone if England loses that game.
I can guarantee you will be. Belgium hosting Andorra and Italy playing Azerbaijan. I mean, if you don't see...
I got my fingers crossed for a draw at Italy-Azerbaijan for my sake.
Yeah.
Not expecting it, but hoping.
No, I would imagine they're going to be 3-4... Nothing plus victories in these
most
games.
Most likely. That's it for Footy Roundup this week. Cheers for listening.